The Everlasting Effect of Cholera on the Jewish People. I began with a spatial question. How did the cholera epidemic of 1892 affect Russian Jewish migration within Europe and to the United States? More specifically, how did cholera affect the geographical location of Jews? After exhaustive research, which included a longer than anticipated quest through the stacks of Widener Library, I came to a conclusion. It didn't. At least there were no causal data or maps that made the specific link between cholera and migration. I needed to reorient my spatial question. Rather than affecting Russian Jews' migration, how did cholera affect Russian Jews as they migrated around the world? To start, a quote. "Our things were taken away. Our friends separated from us. A man came to inspect us, as if to ascertain our full value. Strange-looking people driving us about like dumb animals, helpless and unresisting. Children we could not see, crying in a way that suggested terrible things. Ourselves driven into a little room where a great kettle was boiling on a little stove. Our clothes taken off. Our bodies rubbed with a slippery substance that might be any bad thing. A shower of warm water let down on us without warning. Again, driven to another little room where we sit, wrapped in woolen blankets, till large, coarse bags are brought in, their contents turned out, and we see only a cloud of steam, and hear the women's orders to dress ourselves, quick, quick, or else we'll miss something we cannot hear. We are forced to pick out our clothes from among all the others, with the steam blinding us. We choke, cough, entreat the women to give us time. They persist, quick, quick, or you'll miss the train. Oh, so we really won't be murdered. They are only making us ready for the continuing of our journey, cleaning us all of suspicions of dangerous germs. Thank God." Such was the experience of a 13-year-old girl named Mashki Antin as she and her family attempted the long journey from Russia to America in 1894. This harsh, even inhumane treatment had become standard for Russian Jews after the cholera epidemic of 1892, an event that would come to define what the Western world thought of them: dirty, pestilent, diseased. Unearned labels arbitrarily affixed to a people who knew nothing but hardship and neglect from their own homeland, a homeland in which they never felt welcome. This group of people fled west in the 1880s with hopes filled to the brim of a new, better life, one with opportunity and acceptance. What they encountered was more prejudice, more rejection, and thanks to cholera, a new distinction as the disease-riddled immigrant. A brief history is required here to elucidate a hatred that has existed for centuries, long before the appearance of cholera. Hatred of Jews, known as anti-Semitism, has its roots in ancient Babylonia. In the year 586 BCE, the realm of Judah and the city of Jerusalem were destroyed by a Babylonian king named Nebuchadnezzar II. The next 50 years are known as the Babylonian exile, during which time the Judean Jews were in exile from their homeland. One might think that this 1-2 punch of defeat and exile would snuff out Judaism. On the contrary, it sparked the creation of a spiritual community founded on the loss of their community on earth. Judaism became a religion wholly distinct from others at the time. Its prophets, quote, "freed religion from the official forms of worship, transplanting it deeper into the soul of individual man with his private sense of personal moral responsibility," end quote. This development of Judaism drove a wedge between religions that would never be removed. From difference grew fear, and history is now riddled with a parade of attempts to protect the world from Judaism. The exclusive nature of Judaism and strict adherence to Jewish law, which incorporated the, quote, "highest and purest principles of humanity," end quote, as well as circumcision and strict eating rules, drove the wedge between Jews and non-Jews deeper, eventually culminating in an animosity toward a group of people who proved to be much stronger and resilient than its adversaries had anticipated. This Cliff's Notes version of the origins of anti-Semitism most certainly simplifies the matter, admittedly, but it gives a general context for the discrimination and hatred served upon a population forced to scatter around the world, a phenomenon known as Jewish diaspora. So, what does all of this have to do with cholera? We're getting there, I promise. We just need a little more background to fully understand the context of the issue. Let's fast forward to 18th century Russia. When Catherine the Great converted to Orthodox Christianity upon marrying into the Romanov family, she found that neither the religion nor the family held much of a tolerance for Jews. As her empire grew, so did her population of Jewish subjects. In all, Russia became home to more than 1 million Jews between 1772 and 1795. Although Catherine was more liberal than her predecessors, she ultimately succumbed to pressure from the Russian nobility, and in 1791, she established the Pale of Settlement, an area in western Russia in which all Jews were required to live. Encompassing an area of approximately 473,000 square miles, the Pale ran north to south, from Kovno to Yalta, and stretched from the Black to the Baltic Seas. At its peak, the population had soared from 1 million in 1800 to almost 5.2 million in 1897, or 40% of the world's Jewish population. The accompanying map, the Pale of Settlement, visualizes the spatial concentration of Russian Jews in a strictly confined sliver of an otherwise vast empire. As historian Max Demont writes, quote, "Though the Jews could roam throughout Poland, Lithuania, and the Ukraine, in Holy Mother Russia itself they could not," end quote. After a series of decrees that further restricted Jewish freedoms, Catherine formally deemed Jews, quote, "completely separate from Russians," end quote, in 1794. Simply put, Jews in the Russian Empire bore no rights. This insistence on the Jew as other strengthened throughout the 19th century in Russia, and by the late 1800s, many were yearning for lives outside the confines of Russia. An event in 1881 ended up sparking a mass migration of Jews out of Eastern Europe. On March 1, 1881, Tsar Alexander II was assassinated by members of the Narodnaya Volia, or People's Will, a revolutionary organization. One of the seven conspirators was a Jewish woman named Hesia Helfman. Upon news of the Jews' disloyalty, the government unleashed dozens of anti-Jewish pogroms that would alter the course of Judaism forever. Already propelled by an absence of economic opportunity and unceasing religious persecution, Russian Jews were now victims of escalated religious attacks. Subsequently, a flood of Jews left Russia for other countries, but most migrants aimed for the United States. Between 1881 and 1914, over 2 million East European Jews made their way to America. The accompanying map, The Great Migration, 1880 to 1914, illustrates this significant relocation. But backing up just a little, on May 3, 1882, Tsar Alexander III enacted the May Laws, a set of, what were meant to be temporary, laws that heavily restricted the Jews' freedom. More rules and regulations followed throughout the decade, and in 1891, most Jews were deported from Moscow. An article from the National Tribune in Washington, D.C., precipitated the event. Quote, "It is estimated that 1 million Hebrews will have to leave Russia within the next few months on account of the enforcement of the Edict of 1882. According to this edict, the Russian Jews must hereafter reside only in certain towns. None of them will be permitted to own land or to hire it for agricultural purposes. The Russian Jews cannot hereafter hold shares in or work mines. They are debarred from holding posts under the government. They cannot enter the army and will not be allowed to practice medicine or law or to enter any of the professions. The residences must hereafter be confined to 16 of the provinces of Russia, and these provisions will create an exodus of Israelites greater in their number than the tribes who went forth under Moses." End quote. And this is what brings us to cholera. Well, no. It is what the Western world started to think brought cholera to them, the Jews. The massive surges of Russian Jews that had been emigrating since the pogroms of 1881 made easy targets for a smear campaign in the summer of 1892 that rebranded them as disease-carrying invaders. Suddenly, the, quote, "beleaguered, persecuted, and spatially dispossessed victims of the Tsarist regime became conduits of contagion and death, and the spaces through which they traveled were tarnished by association," end quote. Nothing short of mass hysteria gripped countries from Germany to England to the United States as cholera raged and the Jewish immigrants kept coming from Russia. An outbreak of cholera in Hamburg, Germany in the summer of 1892, along with a typhus outbreak in New York City among Russian Jewish immigrants, cemented a culture of fear against a foreign disease. Cue the disinfecting stations so chillingly described by Mashki Antin in 1894. Despite no actual data linking the cholera epidemic to Russian Jews, immigration policies, spearheaded by the United States, went into widespread effect in 1893. In that year, the U.S. Congress passed the Quarantine Act, which required proof of disinfection before, quote, suspicious immigrants, end quote, could board ships to America. Thereafter, for decades, Russian Jews were subjected to humiliating inspections that expounded the perpetual stigma of Jews as the other. Antin wrote, quote, the screening procedures betrayed not just a fear of spreading the disease, but also the impact of eugenics and racialized definitions of strangers who were widely perceived as a potential threat for the receiving societies, end quote. A perceptive, eloquent young woman indeed. I will end this story with a lesson. An article from the New York Times on August 29, 1892, articulates the fear that was instilled into a nation, the United States, that to this day has a hard time detangling fact from fiction. The author wrote, "With the danger of cholera in question, it is plain to see that the United States would be better off if ignorant Russian Jews and Hungarians were denied refuge here. These people are offensive enough at best. Under the present circumstances, they are a very positive menace to the health of the country. Even should they pass the quarantine officials, their mode of life, when they settle down, makes them always a source of danger. Cholera, it must be remembered, originates in the homes of this human riffraff." End quote. Further down on the same page of that day's Times, however, there's a piece entitled "Immigrants Landed." The subheading? They came from Hamburg but brought no cholera with them. So, to answer our reoriented spatial question, how did cholera affect Russian Jews as they migrated around the world? Answer: it gifted them with a stigma that bears no more truth in 2022 than it did in 1892, which, as the conflicting Times articles show, was none. We can only hope that society learns to separate fact from what is often nothing more than sensational fiction.